Thank you for joining us on A Journey of Faith, brought to you by Only Jesus For Me Ministries. It is our hope that through this spiritual journey of 10 sessions, you will be equipped to engage with some of life's toughest questions. While this session certainly has value in and of itself, we want to invite you to consider this session in context with the other 9 sessions in A Journey of Faith. We feel this will make your journey to discovery more complete. At OJM, we teach on the premise that truth discovered is truth retained. We also invite you to download the ebooks that correspond with these audiobooks and dive deeper into each subject on this journey. We also hope you will watch and listen to the e-sessions carefully and engage with the discussion questions that are suggested at the end of every session. By the way, we want you to feel free to express your own ideas that emerge as you listen, watch, and study with us. We welcome you to A Journey of Faith. Session 2. What does baptism mean? The abiding principles for this session. Romans 6:4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Psalm 107:2. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others He has redeemed you from your enemies. James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Introduction to Session 2. What does baptism mean? There's probably no subject in Christianity that evokes more questions than a discussion on baptism. Many differences between denominations stem from varying understandings of what the Bible teaches about the meaning of baptism and how baptism should be administered. What does the Bible say about infant baptism? Should I be baptized again after I accept Christ as my Savior? Should I be immersed, sprinkled, or poured? If immersed, should it be done 3 times forward or 1 time backward? If it was done wrong the first time, should I be rebaptized? Is baptism in a church baptistry just as good as baptism down at the river? Do I need to wear a robe, or will shorts and a t-shirt suffice? Are there baptism classes that I have to take before I get baptized? Can I transfer my baptism from one church to another? The questions go on and on. To answer some of these questions, we have to look at the traditions of the church that we attend. The Bible just doesn't exactly teach us some of these things, so our founders did the best they could to follow the scriptures according to their best understanding. Consequently, many churches have different traditions surrounding baptism, and it is important to honor those traditions unless they contradict clear Bible teaching. In this session, I'll lay out what I believe the Bible teaches about this subject of baptism. As I present my understandings of this subject, I'll try to note when what I share comes from my traditions rather than what I believe is clearly taught in Scripture. Even so, there will certainly be scholars who disagree with my conclusions of what the Scriptures teach. However, I trust that by getting into the Scriptures, you'll be able to decide what you believe Christ is calling you to do about your own baptism. Whatever you decide, I trust your decision will be based upon the Word of God. To help you get started, let me define 2 important terms. A public profession of faith starts the Christian life with a definite and public statement that a person has become a true Christian and desires to enter a life of discipleship as a follower of Jesus Christ. Simply put, a believer making this profession of faith is stating that he or she is not ashamed of identification with Christ and God's people, and thereby intends to be accountable to such. Baptism incorporates or builds upon this public profession of faith by symbolizing a believer's position with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. This symbolism declares a believer's intention to die to the flesh, bury the old nature, and begin to operate in the new nature with the help of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, a believer is formally initiated into the church and set apart publicly to a life of carrying forth the ministry of Jesus Christ through their local church. Against the backdrop of these two definitions, we'll study the scriptures to see the meaning of these important first steps in the Christian life. We'll learn that this outward profession of faith and baptism represent a deep inner meaning for the follower of Jesus. As we understand better this inner meaning in the ceremony of baptism, we'll find that baptism serves as a practical lesson that will help each of us on a daily basis to be able to follow Christ as a true disciple. We are reading today from the Bible text, Romans 5:20 through 6:8. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin's power is broken. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. Now, to discuss the Bible text. The Bible teaches that a believer should make a public profession of his or her faith and follow the Lord in baptism after experiencing the new birth in Christ. Roman numeral 1. Baptism should follow salvation. Baptism is for those who have been born again. Capital A. A person is not a candidate for baptism until he or she has become a member of the family of God through salvation. Acts 8:36-37. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" "You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Baptism is an outward profession of an inward faith. For baptism to have true meaning, first, there must be an active faith in a person's heart that has brought him or her to the newness of life in Christ. Baptism is an expression of a genuine faith that desires to follow Christ in baptism and also in humble discipleship. There's a difference between infant baptism and baptism as a born-again believer, believer's baptism. Capital B. Soon after a person becomes a member of the family of God through salvation, he or she should make a definite public profession of faith. Note Jesus' words, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Matthew 10:32-33. The transforming power of the gospel gives courage for believers to openly identify with Christ by making a public profession of their faith. Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." A public profession of faith helps provide accountability in a new believer's life. 1 Timothy 6:12. "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses." This public profession of faith may be coupled with baptism, or may simply be a first step toward a commitment to prepare for baptism. Either way, baptism is an open confession of genuine faith and thus initiates a new believer into a life of accountability and true discipleship. Roman numeral 2. Our motivations for baptism. Capital A. We are following our Savior's pattern. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Capital B. We are following a scriptural precedent. For example, brethren, believe that baptism is a response to God's saving act through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They also believe that baptism is an act of obedience to the teachings and example of Jesus Christ. This is from the Church of the Brethren Minister's Manual, All Who Minister, page 130. Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. Acts 8:12 and 13. But now, the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. Capital C. We are surrendered to Jesus' program. Baptism is a part of Christ's Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20a. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. The local church is responsible for continuing Jesus' program and thus fulfilling this commission. In baptism, we become full participants in the church and thus share the responsibility of Jesus' program. For example, brethren believe that baptism is an initiation rite into the church, the body of Christ. To believe in Jesus Christ means to believe in His church and to be a part of it. Baptism is the moment of entering the church, of assuming responsible membership. This is also from All Who Minister. Capital D. There's a great symbolism to be published. Another example from All Who Minister. Brethren believe that baptism is a symbol of cleansing and new life. It is an outward sign of an inner experience. There's a new creation, a new birth. Baptism is a public witness of the covenant relationship with God. Baptism is an ordinance of the church that symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Our baptism identifies us with Christ by symbolizing our desire to die to our old life, the corrupted, sinful nature, symbolizing our desire to bury our old life that we lived outside of Christ, symbolizing our desire to follow our new nature and live for Christ as a true disciple. There are also other ordinances of the church that are important to renewing our baptismal commitments. In our tradition, we practice what's called the Love Feast. This ceremony continues the symbolism of a believer's identity with Christ in the following two ways. The Lord's Supper, often called Communion or the Eucharist, 1 Corinthians 11:26. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. Foot washing, which we believe was commanded by Christ. John 13:12-15. After washing their feet, He put on His robe again and sat down and asked, Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Capital E. There's a separation to make public. Baptism sets us apart from the world and openly identifies each of us as a follower of Christ. Colossians 2:12. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. As followers of Christ, we have two daily responsibilities: cooperating with God's inner work of transformation by dying to our old life of sin, Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Surrendering to God by allowing Christ to live his life through us. Romans 12:1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Living publicly in a way that bears both silent and spoken witness to God's marvelous grace by doing those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Romans 6:22. Brethren believe that baptism is a beginning. It is understood not as something completed, but as the start of the Christian's pilgrimage of faith, all who minister. Roman numeral 3. The biblical method of baptism. Capital A. The word baptism is from the Greek word baptizo, and means to immerse, submerge, to make overwhelmed, i.e., fully wet. It is used only in the New Testament of ceremonial ablution, especially, technically, of the ordinance of Christian baptism. This definition is from James Strong's Concordance with Expanded Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. Capital B. The baptismal ceremonies in Scripture seem to indicate that baptism should be by immersion. Brethren practice a trine immersion, immersing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as referenced in their minister's manual, All Who Minister. Matthew 3:16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Acts 8:38 and 39. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Capital C. The wording used in the baptismal ceremony contains quotations from Scripture. The pastor might say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19, buried with Christ by baptism and raised to live a new life, Romans 6:4. Capital D. Since baptism marks the start of a new life in Christ, often the pastor will have a prayer of dedication for the new disciple, inviting the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon his or her life for effective ministry. For example, All Who Minister states, Brethren believe that baptism is an ordination into ministry. All people, as they join the church through baptism, are called to minister through their life and work to their neighbors in the world. Roman numeral 4. Some different viewpoints of baptism. Capital A. Some churches practice infant baptism because of a different understanding of Scripture. The baptism of infants does not seem to fit the biblical model that we've studied. Infants may be dedicated to the Lord, but we believe it's not necessary for salvation. 1 Samuel 1:26 through 28. We understand baptism to be only for believers of Christ. Infants are safe in the Lord until they reach the age of accountability. 2 Samuel 12:22 and 23. Salvation is an adult-like choice that each of us must make for ourselves. Baptism is much more meaningful when the person being baptized is old enough to make his or her own decision. Capital B. Some churches sprinkle or pour rather than immerse for baptism. Our motivations for baptism are more important than the method. However, these other methods don't seem to follow the pattern we see in Scripture, nor do they present the symbolism in quite the way we've studied. As I understand the Scriptures, a person who's previously been sprinkled or poured should now be immersed. John 13:17. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. In our tradition, we immerse 3 times forward, once each in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We immerse from a kneeling position as a sign of our submission and humility before God. Our foreparents felt this method of trine immersion was closest to the methods of the early church. Others immerse 1 time backward in the likeness of the death and burial of Christ. From a scriptural standpoint, I believe that either method of immersion is acceptable. I practice according to the traditions of the church that I serve. Capital C. Some religions teach that baptism washes away sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sin. Hebrews 9:14a. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. Remember the thief on the cross? Luke 23:42-43. Then he, the thief on the cross, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Salvation is accomplished by Christ's work being applied by the Holy Spirit to the individual. Titus 3:5-6. God, our Savior, saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even so, true salvation will lead a person to a public profession of faith and baptism. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Roman numeral 5. Some reasons that people refuse to make a public profession of faith or be baptized. Capital A. Some lack courage to stand for Christ. Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Capital B. Some lack conviction needed to sever relationships with others. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve 2 masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Baptism may sever a relationship with a church or religion that's not teaching the truth of God's word. Baptism may sever relationships with friends who are not following God. Baptism will cause us to realign our priorities, putting God first in all decisions. Even so, when you take a small step toward God, you'll find that God has already taken a giant step toward you. Capital C. Some lack true conversion. Perhaps they've never experienced the new birth in Christ. James 2:17-18. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. In conclusion, I remember visiting with an elderly lady years ago. In our conversation, I asked about her relationship with Christ. She responded rather bluntly, "Son, I'll have you to know that my relationship with God is a very private matter. I never discuss it." How sad, I thought. I tried to explain to her that while it is true that her relationship with God was a very personal matter, it was not to be a private matter. God calls upon us to live a public testimony in both word and deed. A public profession of faith and baptism are just the beginning of this public witness. As daily we consider ourselves to be dead to our sinful lives and we bury the old life with Christ, we're able to be raised up to live in a new way, to walk with Christ as a true disciple, showing forth the praises of God and sharing with others God's marvelous grace. The story of the well-known evangelist Billy Sunday, 1862 to 1935, always inspires me. He was reared in an orphanage, but by the age of 21, he was playing professional baseball for the Chicago White Sox. 3 years later, he gave his heart and life to Christ at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission in Chicago. In his own words, he describes what took place. "I arose and said to the boys, teammates, I'm through. I'm going to Jesus Christ. We've come to the parting of ways. And I turned my back on them. I turned and left that little group on the corner of State and Madison Streets and walked to the little mission and fell on my knees and staggered out of sin and into the arms of the Savior." 5 years after making this public profession of faith, Billy gave up baseball and responded to the calling of God to enter the ministry. Throughout his preaching ministry, hundreds of thousands responded to his public invitations to receive Christ, hitting the sawdust trail to clasp his hand, signifying their acceptance of Christ. This story is from William T. Ellis's book, Billy Sunday, The Man and His Message. Billy Sunday lived the kind of life Christ calls us to lead, a life of openly declaring our faith by how we live and also by how we witness of Christ's love. What starts in the baptismal ceremony should continue in our day-to-day lives as we take responsibility for Christ's church and its mission to accomplish the work of Jesus. An invitation. Have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? What I'm asking is, have you been scripturally baptized after you came to faith and experienced the new birth in Christ? If not, I want to encourage you to humbly seek baptism. Often the question comes up, should I be re-baptized now that I'm truly a disciple of Christ? I think the first time I was baptized, I really didn't know what I was doing. This describes my experience. I was baptized very young, but came to realize later that I hadn't really understood the commitment that I was making. Later, I was truly baptized. So I'll answer that question this way. In my mind, you would not be re-baptized. The first time, it was a religious ceremony with meaning on God's side, but certainly not so much on yours. This time, you'll truly be baptized for the right reasons and in the right way. You'll be declaring your genuine faith and desire to humbly follow Jesus Christ as both your Savior and Lord. This time, when you're buried with Christ in baptism, you'll be making a declaration that you truly want to set aside your old life and begin anew with Christ. Christ is always faithful, but we struggle and make many mistakes. I feel that in the wideness of God's grace, God will understand that you want to experience baptism in its fullness. Being baptized again doesn't suggest that God's grace was not sufficient or that somehow God has failed. Rather, in my mind, it proves the sincerity of a true disciple who wants another chance to meet God's grace as expressed in Christ's mercy. This time, both accepting God's love and, importantly, making an informed decision to surrender to Jesus as Lord and Master of your life. Here are some discussion questions for you to consider. 1. Do you believe a person must be baptized in order to go to heaven, or is it just something necessary for the Christian life in this world? Why or why not? 2. What do you believe the Bible teaches about the proper method of baptism? Please explain. 3. Discuss what baptism teaches us about the Christian life on a day-to-day basis. 4. Does a person need to be baptized with witnesses present, or can a person be baptized in secret? Please explain your answer. 5. If a person was baptized as a young person, would he or she need to be baptized again as an adult? Please give an example of a particular situation to support your answer. Please answer these discussion questions and complete sentences on our website. When you submit your answers to OJM, you'll get a copy of Larry's and Diane's answers in return via email. You may wish to keep a copy of your answers to compare yours with theirs as you continue discovering truth. If you're not sure how to answer each question, go ahead and take a stab at it. Once you start writing, you may surprise yourself. There are no right or wrong answers. We want to hear your thoughts. In addition, remember to write out the abiding principles on the website. If you complete these simple assignments, you will earn an upgraded certificate.
If you have enjoyed this session of A Journey of Faith, please remember that you may download this session as an ebook for no additional charge. Our ebooks offer bonus content, including acknowledgments, photos, and information about the author and contributing editor. We also would like to invite you to consider our Getting Fit program. The FIT in Getting Fit stands for our Facilitator in Training program that allows you to share what you have been discovering with others. It is truly fun, and we think you will find it rewarding. Find out more on our website at onlyjesusforme.com. Again, that is only Jesus, then the number 4, onlyjesusforme.com. Thank you for listening, and please know that our prayers are with you as you continue your journey of faith.